Welcome to the Crypto Winter Interview Series, brought to you by FinTech Nexus. In this series, we are interviewing a wide range of voices, leaders in the crypto community, where we discuss how they are navigating the downturn in the markets and what it all means for the future of crypto and the broader financial system.
Hi, everybody. Bo Bruskern here, co-founder and CEO of FinTech Nexus. Very happy to be joined by Liz Matthew, who is the Global Head of Business Development and Partnerships for MetaMask Institutional, which is, of course, a division of Consensus. And I had the pleasure of hosting Liz on stage in New York in late May, and it was a fantastic conversation. Wanted to get an update from Liz. Before we jump into it, I wanted to mention very briefly that we are hosting our conference called Merge in London on October 17th and 18th in the Tobacco Dock in London, as I mentioned. That's the 17th and 18th of October. Merge is really all about introducing fintech and traditional finance to what's happening in Web3 and crypto. And we're bringing those communities together to learn from each other. So we understand there is a tremendous amount going on in this space. Our specific viewpoint is all about, again, bringing these two communities together. Because as we've said in the past, if there's going to be a revolution, let's make sure it's a bloodless revolution. And let's have a chat about what's coming next. So speaking of what's coming next, I would love to just ask you, Liz, to kind of give us an update on where you stand today, and what's your take on what's being pronounced as the crypto winter.
Yeah, absolutely, Bo. Thanks for having me. So I'm not seeing the crypto winter. Our team is so busy continuing to build for organizations that continue to show up and want to participate in Web3. And that has looked like a flavor of DeFi earlier, but then now we're having increasingly more enterprise organizations, corporates even, publicly listed, well-established names that want to be able to think about a way to participate and engage with their communities using Web3 and the technology that promises ultimately a paradigm shift, right? In terms of how do we think about fundamentally ownership structures, and how do we fundamentally think about the creation and distribution models of things of value and things of digital scarcity. So absolutely, this ecosystem has been traditionally dominated by the earliest adopters that are more nimble and lightly regulated in being able to take advantage of several arbitrage opportunities. And I think some of that has diminished. I think there's a far more nuanced look at ways to access this asset class, be it through wrappers that look like traditional products and traditional risk profiles, and then what can be considered truly decentralized, right? And flavors that sort of lie in between. And I think the last few months have been a lesson in risk management and counterparty risk. And, practitioners in markets are no strangers to these risks and the nuances behind that. And so I really see this as a space where the industry collectively grows up and spends time to be more thoughtful in how we price risks that were otherwise, not taken into account.
You mentioned a lot of different themes there that I think are fascinating. No, there's tons going on, and I'd love to dig in on a couple of those things. So In terms of decentralization, like that seems to be part of the early adopters' attraction to this space. Is as we cross over from those early adopters to, you know, whatever's next, or maybe we've gone from innovators to early adopters today. So, like, has that story changed a lot? Is decentralization still super important, or are people just chasing yield?
So I don't know if decentralization was ever important. I think people are, you know, will, you know, human nature is to be able to chase yield and do it in a way that, within the community of yield chasers, I think there is now a separation between chasing yield without regard for how much risk you are taking. And then there is a distinct community of practitioners that will look at this in terms of a risk versus reward framework. And so we've been spending at MetaMask Institutional a considerable amount of time to be able to create the tools that create awareness and the frameworks to be able to analyze your portfolio in a simplified way, keeping in mind that we are sourcing ultimately from an extremely fragmented ecosystem. And so that remains the same, be it NFTs or stablecoins or DeFi tokens. It is a sort of a requirement that anyone involved in Web3 has as a challenge. And we thought that was the most important thing to solve for first.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think now we're seeing an industry shakeout of practitioners that were not as disciplined when it came to looking at reward versus risk. And that's natural in the evolution of an early nascent industry.
Yeah. And so in terms of those products that you're developing, then I want to ask two questions. So I'll state first, or I'll ask first, is it a myth that because it's all on the blockchain, it's all readable, and it's all just a big database that we can parse? Is it a lot more complex than that?
Yeah, it certainly. I mean, you know, you've got multiple networks and you've got multiple dApps built on these various networks and various custodial options, right? And custody stacks. And so it is an extremely fragmented ecosystem. There was no one way to be able to track all your holdings across various trade strategies, across networks. It's easy to go and use some open source solution to look at your exposure on a per network basis. But we all know, you know, if I run a lending and borrowing book, or if I run a book that's looking at yield farming, I'm going to want to track this, relative to opportunities across networks and sometimes across multiple custodians. And so I think that was just a fundamental thing that we had to solve for funds that were the earlier adopters in terms of institutional adoption within the space. But we're seeing that requirement just as strong among retail-facing corporates that are not looking at this in any kind of yield-chasing format whatsoever. I like to think of them as real money in this asset class because they're in it because they're thinking of different ways to engage with their community. And, you know, if you have a technology that allows to create further fan engagement or further consumer engagement, and you have a way whereby you can create a more equitable distribution model of ownership of some of this content, you know, yeah, sure. Well, I mean, we understand that financial engineering is extremely concentrated, and it's great that you can have access to liquidity and leverage to the long tail of participants, be it organizations or retail. But we're also seeing real money, retail, corporates, enterprises show up to say that, you know, this is a technology that forces us to think about how we engage with our communities, be it through marketing or be it through, you know, different ways to be thinking about equitable distribution models. And that fundamental defragmented user experience holds the same in NFTs. And so we found, you know, several of those kind of participants that are really quite decoupled to the price action and are looking for solutions to think about how organizations begin to think about experimenting with these fundamentally. It does come back to the philosophy of you have this technology that can radically change the way you issue and transfer things of value and things of scarcity. And therefore, can we force ourselves to be thinking about equitable ways in how we do that?
So one of the theses that I'm trying to develop is, you know, what's the best move for TradFi right now? I feel like based on what you're seeing, a more appropriate question at this moment might be for that real money. And I love how you talk about that because, you know, what's the best move for real money is the question. The reason I like your characterization of that is because there's such a big difference between product developers, content developers, people who are actually creating stuff, whether it's shoes or movies, and the financial engineers that are, you know, greasing the capitalist wheels behind them to make that work. So let's go to the
sides are equally important, right?
No, I wouldn't say equally important. Like I do believe that without an actual content, there is no finance. So whether we're buying bushels of wheat or sneakers, like those are the fundamentals. So you can take that either way you want. What's the play for real money, and what's the play for the financial services firms that are already a part of the system that may be super eager to kind of get involved?
Yeah. And you know, that it's such a, you can talk about that for hours, right? So, so let's put that in three buckets. There's the actors in DeFi that are now being forced to get more disciplined about how they take risk, and they need to have standardization in how they monitor and report these portfolios. And there's going to be a further differentiation in the kind of counterparty risk you end up taking when you look at CeFi access to this asset class. And even within DeFi, is it truly decentralized, or are you taking counterparty risk even behind that? And those nuances are coming up, and it's great to be able to see that that evolution in the discussion. There's the real money within financial markets, the pension funds, the sovereign wealth funds, those that are not playing the basis trade, but are looking at this as a long-term play. And that's where I think much of the momentum around what we are seeing from going from a proof of work to a proof of stake, enabling real money, long-term practitioners to say, let me take a fundamental directional view on this technology. And I think this is a great time to be understanding the nuances of what it means for the merge in the Ethereum ecosystem, and then deciding whether they want to participate. But every signal around the merge and updates around it have been going extremely well. So I think this is a very interesting time to be thinking about that. And correspondingly, some of the episodes we've seen around liquidity in staking also have come to fore. So this is a great lesson for many many actors that have been sitting by the sidelines and have been sort of saying, well, this in traditional markets, this doesn't kind of work. Like, what about this and what about that? And, you know, and it's been all played out right in the last 8 weeks. And that's a great learning for anyone who are trying to understand the nuances of this. And then there's the third category of real money. And I say the corporates that are looking at this to find real world use cases and utility. And this is almost a discussion around, community engagement and how do we create more equitable models of ownership, because you are now able to represent digital scarcity through this technology. And I think some of the challenges that the first category have asked us to solve for, the third category are now beneficiaries of. So it's extremely interesting to see that evolution. And, we're still in the early stage. We fundamentally think that more things of value are going to be recorded on a cryptographic ledger. And therefore, there are going to be organizations that have tokens on their balance sheet and therefore require an approach around the treasury management or so in a way that traditional infrastructure can't support.
Love it. This is why I love talking to you. You've got such you have great insights because of where you sit in the ecosystem, and you have a great mind to put this together and spell it out for us in plain terms. And our audience really thanks you for that. We're going to have to wrap up soon. Before we do that, I want to ask you in closing, is there anything that you'd like to state? I came prepared with a few questions, but is there something that was on your mind that you'd like to, prime the audience for and just say, hey, here's what's coming next, or here's something I'm thinking about, and kind of engaging the audience in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So I think, we've always been sort of focused on solving for organizations that want to have access to DeFi and NFTs, and we'll continue to build for that. There's, the noise around what's happening in CeFi, I think has just diverted more attention to how do you look at DeFi. But I think one will be remiss to not ignore that. Sure, we can build certain frameworks in order for you to start approach this asset class with the same rigor around risk management that you do with additional asset classes. But there are newer sort of risks that you begin to get exposed to that are inherent within this asset class. And, the only way to get involved and understand what Web3 is to actually get involved. And, I would just say, don't sit by the sidelines and buy a futures contract or get exposure through some kind of Web2 wrapper to the asset class. There is a whole host of things that we continue to want to solve for around how do you analyze smart contract risk? How do you think about custody and the safekeeping of assets in storage, but also in motion? And so we are continuing to work on keeping organizations safe in DeFi. I'm looking forward to seeing more innovation around that, especially on the safety, security, and analytics that support that.
That was a great pitch for one of our new programs that I think you're aware of called Crypto Nexus, where we actually onboard fintech and bank executives directly onto crypto, and we put guardrails around that experience. So they go on to a non-custodied wallet, they have their tokens, and we sort of guide them through those first steps. And those are scary steps. And you probably remember the first time you were transacting. And
they just need to give me a call. I will get them set up on MetaMask Institutional. And then they just need to, get their hands dirty, basically.
All right. Well, I'm not going to ask you for mobile, but do tell us where your Twitter handle is or the best way to get in touch with you.
Yeah, Twitter, I'm eMatthew19, or LinkedIn, and you've definitely promoted this event there. So you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm happy to respond and get them set up.
Great. And it's Liz Matthew with one T and no S, Matthew, the most simple form of that name. And we, of course, are Fintech Nexus, and we're at Fintech Nexus on every platform out there. And I'm at Bruce Kern. Thankfully, I just have a very rare name. So when it comes time to grab a spot on Twitter or what have you, Bruce Kern is always available. So thanks, Liz. Great speaking with you. Let's do it again soon, and continued good fortune to you and your team.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Take care.